1. Hey, everybody, welcome to the 16-Bit Catholic, episode 10. There's like a big X or something like that. Sounds kind of cool, but don't do drugs. That's not the good kind of X that we're talking about. I am Dustin Faber. I'm here with the golden voice. His name is James Ryan. James Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. I am doing wonderful. We got the late night recording. I like that. Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
And I thought you would be doing bad because the team that you didn't like ended up winning the game today, which pleased me to no end. The New England Patriots beating the Indianapolis Colts.
That's right. No, we watched, I went over to a buddy's house and we watched both the games. I had no horses in the race.
I see what you did there.
I was merely an observer for both games, both NFC and AFC championship games. I was happily surprised with how Seattle pulled it out at the end.
Yeah.
And very surprised with how New England just kind of romped the Indianapolis Colts. I thought it was going to be a little closer than it was.
Yeah, the studio people, I caught that before the beginning of the game, and I think most of the guys in the studio were picking Indianapolis to upset New England. And it's like, well, you guys are getting paid for something. I'm not sure what anymore, but they got money for those predictions, and they were wrong. They were wrong, sir. I don't like them when people are wrong. So, no, that's really antisocial of me. I'm sorry about that. But,
that's okay.
No, you take me. I love the Patriots. They've been my team for about 8-9 years. I didn't grow up with a football team as a kid. So, my dad, he casually watch the Dallas Cowboys, but what kind of childhood is that, I ask you? What kind of childhood is that? It sounds abusive. So I know a lot of people hate the Patriots. So as a non-fan and somebody who probably cheers against them on occasion, explain to me why my team is hated.
I think it's not only the Patriots. It's most of Boston sports, and it's because that they not only that they have won in multiple sports. They've won the Stanley Cup recently. They won the Major League Baseball with the Red Sox. They won the championship for the NBA with the Celtics, and they've won a few titles with the Patriots, the NFL. I think that Boston in general and their fans are not very gracious winners. Yes, they are the type of fans who once they win, it is just the worst thing possible, that they love to just stick it in the other fans' faces that they are champions. I think I have said that the worst thing that Boston could have ever done was win titles in every sport in the last few years. Because they are most Boston fans, there are some Boston fans who are very nice, but there are the majority of them are insufferable jerks.
I used to be the kid who bragged about that stuff, but now, it just seems kind of a dick move. Like, okay, my team won. I don't have to try to make other people feel bad about it because their team lost. I kind of feel bad. I told my friend Eric, who's a big Colts fan, I sent him a tweet like, hey, I'm sorry about the game, you know? Like, I don't know. I just can't bring myself to be a dick over my teams unless I, get provoked by, somebody says, oh, you suck. It's like, oh, well, no, let's have a talk about this now, sir. But so if they were like the Georgia Patriots or the South Carolina Patriots, would they have that same kind of disdain not being in Boston in that area?
I don't think so, but I think it's definitely because they are Boston. And like I said, I think when Boston wins, the fans decide to forget about the many of the years that they were crappy. The Patriots were crappy before, way before the guys like Drew Bledsoe or Mr. Giselle showed up on the team before Bill Belichick played. You know, in the 80s and in the early 90s, they were not a very good team.
They were crap back in the early 90s. Yeah,
that is right.
Terrible.
And same thing with the Red Sox. You know, they win the championship and then they claim that they're the greatest team on earth while staring suspiciously right at the Yankees, who've won the most MLB championships at 27, and they think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, but they seem to forget the 80 plus years that they did not win a championship.
Yeah, I'm still kind of pissed at all those so-called Patriots fans or whatever earlier in the year when the team wasn't doing so good, and they're like, we need to get rid of Brady, we need to get rid of all this and blah blah blah. It's like, where are you now? And that's what I could see why that would annoy all these other fans of other teams, because here we've got so much success and these guys have gotten given the team so much championship championships and credibility and everything, and then it's the first sign of trouble. They just want to flush it down the drain. They just like they just take like a hammer to that panic button and just destroy it, you know? And it's funny. Annoying.
It's funny that you say that because that is a typical Boston response. I've heard it before in baseball. I've heard it in basketball where when the star player or the star team decides to kind of have a bad couple games or a bad year, they decide to go all out and rip them and say, you know, so-and-so is doing horrible. Screw him. Trade him. Drop him. Bring up the rookie because the rookie's so much better. And then that player decides to play a little better, I guess, the next couple of games. And then all is forgotten and they say, oh, my God, he's the greatest thing ever. We never had lost faith in him. Boston is traditionally, they do that. And I'll say that because my college friend, he went to BC for a year. And he said that before he transferred back out to LA, he said that when he went to, he's a big baseball fan. And when baseball, Red Sox had Mo Vaughn then at the time. And Mo Vaughn was supposed to be, he was the face of the franchise. And he was doing really, really badly. And all of a sudden, all the fans decided to say, he's always been crap. I've always hated him, yada, yada, yada. Bring up this guy from the minor leagues. And then Mo, I think, turned it around. I never lost faith. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Now, screw those people. You know, have a little bit of faith in your team and, you know, give it a chance. Don't, you know, just don't panic. I mean, yeah, after 4 or 5 years, you know, maybe you want to change. But even if you want to change, don't be a dick about it. You know, be gracious for, you know, all the good memories and the good victories and wins that your players have given you. I mean, don't treat them like dirt. That's just wrong.
How come you chose the New England Patriots as your team?
I was rooting for Brady and the Patriots in like 2006 or whatever, because I lived in Pittsburgh, and that seemed like that pissed everybody off in Pittsburgh to cheer for the Patriots. And when they lost to the Colts in 2006, they were up 21-0 at halftime. Then Indianapolis comes back and they win the game. Indianapolis goes on to win the title. That was the biggest, I felt like that was the biggest gut punch I'd ever gotten as a sports fan. And I thought, well, you know, if this team is going to wreck me emotionally like this, I've got to hitch myself to this wagon and go. Do you see what I did there? Yeah, I sound like a bandwagon fan, but
some could say that you are. So that was your first year as a fan?
Yeah, in 2006. Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
I'm a piece of crap. I know it. I'm a worst fan ever. But
that's, you know, I never said that.
I can read the masses' minds, though, man. I can read everybody's mind. I've got brain control or something.
You got the mind meld is on. Yes, men talk the magnificent with the mind meld. That's a nice MMMM. Nice.
Well, you know what though? As far as like being a bandwagon, like, why do I care what anybody thinks? You know, I cheer for the team that makes me happy. You know, I cheer for them. I'm not going to, you know, abandon ship. You know, if they suck next year, if they lose the Super Bowl 52-0, you know, I stuck with them when they lost those. I stuck with this team when they lost to Eli Manning twice, man, twice. Ooh. You know how much guts that takes to stick with somebody who loses to Eli Manning? I mean, come on, man. That's just the worst thing ever. That might be the worst gut punch right there, that second Super Bowl.
I do know what you, maybe even worse, because I've been a Detroit Lions fan since 1989. So, yeah, so you're talking about gut punches. I'm way ahead of you. You've at least been to the Super Bowl in your short tenure as a Patriots fan, and I have not.
I claim no hardships. I know that I am blessed to cheer for a team that has been successful. I'm not going to pretend like we've had any kind of bad times or bad memories, because I'm sure there are a lot of football teams who would love to win the division all those years in a row. So, you know what? Be grateful for what I've got. That's my attitude in life. Be happy with what you've got.
So my question if you've been a fan since 2006 and if those are the gut punches of losing, you know, in the AFC Championship and things like that, it's been a highly successful team since you started watching, and when did they win a title? Was that the
05? I started cheering for, or 04, I should say, ever since I started cheering for them, they've never won a championship.
Oh, continue cheering for them then. I don't, I whatever I was going to say, I would just, hey, throw it out the window. Keep cheering for them.
Yeah, I have that effect on things, apparently. So I bought this Dodgers hat this year, and you guys lost in the playoffs.
Yes,
so.
Thank you. If you, you don't burn it or anything like that, but I will take it from you, and I will find a way to properly dispose of the Dodger hat for you.
I can totally send it to you. I might get a new hat this year. Maybe I'll get like a Seattle hat or a Boston hat or something like that. But yeah, so I will send this hat to you for opening day, and it's kind of worn out. I love my hat though, so I'll find another blue hat. I just like the shade of blue. You guys got a good shade of blue over Dodgerland.
I don't know. I almost want to say, hey, keep it, go ahead. But then again, if you are the bad luck totem, get rid of that Dodger hat real quick.
Well, I also started cheering for the Celtics in 06 as well. I started to hitch my wagon to all the Boston teams. And in 06, that was when they lost like 18 or 19 games in a row or whatever. They were just dreadful, just absolutely dreadful. So I've got evidence and history on my side of doing these things to people. So
do you have family ties to Boston, or
my wife's family's from Massachusetts. Yeah, she's from Massachusetts and everything.
At least you have a way of saying, you know what, hey, my wife's from Massachusetts. I'm just going to do it like that. Because some people I know, who they've done that as well. They're like, well, I wasn't really a fan of anything, but my wife was a big fan, or her family is a big fan of this. So, you know, hey, win in Rome, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this bandwagoning thing is genetic or something. In 1996, here are my dad's favorite teams. In football, it's Dallas Cowboys. In basketball, it's the Chicago Bulls. In baseball, it's the New York Yankees.
Oh, it's a family of front runners.
What happened in 1996? Who won the titles in 96? All three of those teams.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. My dad, he grew up in New York. He grew up going to Buffalo Bills games, so he just, like, completely jumped ship. He should have been a Bills fan, man.
You know, you better check to see if your dad made a lot of money in 1996 from betting, if he did that.
Yeah, he said he used to go see, like, O.J. Simpson play, and you could get in for, like, just a few bucks or whatever, because nobody wanted to see the Bills play in the 1970s. Some things never change, it seems like. But, yeah,
exactly.
yeah, so I've just got a history of that. But, no, you know, when I look at my family, like, there's on my dad's side and my mom's side and everything, there's not like these diehard sports fans that like sit and watch every game.
Right.
Like even my uncle, who's like a big like Michigan fan, half the time Michigan's on, he's, you know, off doing something else. So,
well, he might be kind of what my dad went to UCLA, and whenever a UCLA game is on the tube, he will only watch a little bit. He might actually even go into the other room because he doesn't want to see the possibility of them losing or losing big. So, you know, he doesn't want to have that heartbreak. I understand that.
That's
it's a weird thing. Also, he's a Dodgers fan, yet he will never really watch the Dodgers games. He will always watch the Angel games, which is really weird.
I'm like, are
you an Angels fan? He goes, I just don't want to watch the Dodgers lose. I'm like, all right, fine. Well, it's an odd way to go about being a fan.
You know what? People don't like going to funerals. People don't like going to hospitals. But you do it anyways because it's the right thing to do. Why can't he just watch a game? Will he go to a game in person?
Oh, okay. He came with us. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, sometimes you go to that hospital or that funeral because, you know, it's free food, too. So I don't, you know, I want to take it.
And there might be chicks there, too, you know. There might be ladies. Good-looking guys, good-looking girls. They're all over the place at those places. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm a trailblazer for my family, man. Now my kids can grow up and be like, hey, my dad, you know, my dad didn't grow up watching sports, but, man, my dad's a huge Patriots fan. So
he's a big front runner. Yeah.
I don't tell people that story very often. I'm afraid of what people will think of me. So
I've branded you forever. You're a family of frontrunners.
Well, you know what? I am honest about it. I'm not going to be one of those fans. It's like, oh, I was a fan ever since I was a little boy. Like, no, that's not the case at all. So,
no, you've been a fan since Drew Bledsoe got drafted.
Since,
right?
I got out of college. So yeah, that's the way that works out. So, hey, speaking of things working out, I saw something and you saw something and we both saw something amazing. If you go to archive.org, they got a crap ton of new games there.
Damn right they do.
It's like all these old DOS games. They've had like a bunch of like arcade and console games. So you can play like Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff like that. But now you can play our DOS games, and that's a lot of fun.
Super cool. I mean, stuff that even, you know, games, because I grew up with Apple and Macintosh in my household. Never had a PC.
Ah, you're rich then if you grew up with an Apple in your house, man.
I know, we were. The first game that I ever bought for the Apple was when I was in high school was Wolfenstein 3D, because it was awesome.
Ooh, yeah, that's a fun game.
My hard-earned $20, and I sent away, and I got a disc, or I had two discs, the startup discs. I still remember that, and that was awesome. But I've never played games, and I'm looking at the page right now. You can play a bunch of crazy games on this. I mean, you got, like I said, Wolfenstein right here. We got Donkey Kong, Bust a Move. It looks like Street Fighter 2, a bunch of other crazy stuff. Where in the world's Carmen Sandiego? Hey, I can't wait to get my my adapter for my controller so I can just play a bunch of these games.
By the way, the Street Fighter 2 on DOS is dreadful, man. That is an abomination. The frame rate is all... Yeah, it looks cool in the screenshots, but I remember seeing that for like $10 in like 1995 or 1996, and we had just gotten a computer, like a good computer. We had like a... before that, my dad had cobbled together... I don't think you're supposed to take computers from the Navy when they throw them away, but my dad did anyways because... Hey, they're going to throw them away. Why not put them to good use? But I'm using a computer when I was a kid that I thought was like brand new or whatever. It's really probably from like 1983 or 1984. DOS with the CGA graphics, color graphics adapter, 16 colors on that screen.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Calm down now.
Big spender right there. But you could still play Lemmings. You could play Family Feud on it, which on Family Feud, I'm playing with my mom and she earmuffs kids. Earmuffs.
Uh-oh.
One of the questions they ask is, what age does a woman start to lose interest in sex?
Oh.
And it was my turn. I answered 35. And my mom looks at me like I'm the dumbest person in the world. She's like, 35? I was like, well, that's when you and dad stop having kids or whatever. And my mom says, people have sex not just to have kids, but for fun. And I'm like, really? Then she drops this bombshell on me. She says, your granny and pop still have sex. Like, they're like in their mid-50s or whatever. But yeah, up until Family Feud, I thought you just had sex just to make babies, and that was it. And I just thought the good stuff you got was just a nice little side perk to that, you know. So,
how old were you then?
95. So I was probably like 13 years. I was about 12 years old.
You got the birds and the bees via MS-DOS games.
Oh, Family Feud. Thank you, Family Feud. I should go play that again sometime. I don't think my mom knew that question was coming up, but she probably wouldn't have let me play it.
She's probably like, yeah, we're not going to play this anymore. And speaking of earmuffs as well, as I clicked, I spread down the page of the archive.
it looks like spread.
I did, because the first game, I will bet you money that the first game I play when I get the controller is Sex Vixens from Space.
Oh, you would do something like that.
I would. And the description is Dashing Hero Heartthrob of the Future, which is also my nickname, by the way. Brad Stallion, which is an amazing name on its own, is assigned by the Federated Government to locate and neutralize, quote unquote, the tribe, a band of space Amazon raiders spreading interstellar terror with their emasculating sex ray guns. With the assistance of Sandy, a shipboard computer, the player must guide Brad through two planetary environments, a space station, and his own streamlined vessel, the Big Thruster. As for the various women he will encounter in his journeys, we'll put it this way. When you only have one tool at your disposal, every problem you encounter looks like a toolbox.
His spaceship has a very funny shape to it.
It certainly does.
Yeah, I don't know what that could be, but very.
They don't call it the Big Thruster for nothing.
Oh man, they really scraped all the bottom of the barrel to get some of these games. Like, geez, Louise. Woo. Wow. Yeah. So, parents, if you're going to play some of these games with your kids, you might want to bookmark the good games before you actually sit down, because you might have to explain to your kids what Sex Vixens from Space is. They got Cool World on here, and that's interesting. That's interesting that the archive website put one of those sexy games on the very front page with all the featured games. You would think they would have like hid that away or something like that. And and there's Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, cool.
I remember Leisure Suit Larry. I never got to play it, but
I never got to play it either. I've heard about it. There's Maniac Mansion, which I've been dying to play. play since I was a kid. I have the ROM for the NES, but nice. I'm looking at it right now. I want to play that too. There's a lot of games on this page that I totally want to play.
Yeah, you should do that. The first one I played was Oregon Trail, just because I think that's the most popular game that's on this thing.
Did you get dysentery?
No, I actually won.
Oh, what?
I was even a farmer, too. Like, the one that starts with, like, no money, but then you get, like, a really nice bonus at the end. You just gotta, like, stock up on bullets, and you just gotta hunt, like, every day or two, and feed your family that way. But it can be done.
Early bird gets the worm.
I'm a man. I provide for me. I don't buy no food from no grocery store. I'm not some fancy banker or something like that. No, I'm a farmer, man. I till the land. So, and not like that sex vixen person tilling land or whatever. Yeah, there's a ton of porn games on here.
Yeah,
though.
I'm
nuts.
Looking at it right now. I just found a couple other porn, adult inspired games, and I'm like, I had no clue that there were games like this on the PC when I was, you know, I'm very surprised about this.
Yeah, I didn't either. Like, I do remember, like, as a kid, I saw like this computer magazine or whatever, and it said like, virtual sex, is it the real thing? And this is like 1994, so it's like, no, that's not. So, but there's something for everybody, I guess, is the main point we are making here, because they do have some really cool stuff. But a lot of those arcade games on the DOS, they don't run very well, like the Street Fighters and stuff like that. But, you know, the Oregon Trail was fantastic. I tried Aladdin, and that didn't really work very well for me. But I did play Batman Returns, though. That was trippy, dude. You got to play Batman Returns. It's like one of those point-and-click graphic adventures or whatever.
Oh, cool. I like that.
And so I'm driving in the Batmobile, and they don't tell you really what to do or whatever. Batman's just driving. He's got both hands on the wheel. He's a responsible driver.
2 o'clock.
And I hit the eject button, and Batman jumps out, and it says the Batmobile crashes into buildings and pedestrians, and they die. Game over. And like, Batman's just sitting there like hanging his head, like, you know, somebody farted like in church or something like that, just kind of hanging his head in shame. And that was the end of the game. It's like, so Batman was a murderer that day. I killed people as the Batman.
You ruined it.
I know. Yeah. So you should try that game just out of a morbid curiosity or whatever. That's really all you can do there. But I wish they had a game. Maybe they do. Do they have a game of Escape from New York?
Oh, I don't think they do. I don't know. Was there an Escape from New York? That's a good question. Let's look.
Because I need to go watch that movie. I've never seen that movie, actually.
You've never seen that movie?
No, I'm a bad person is what I am. So I would got to think they've got a... Yeah, okay. There was a board game released in 1981 by TSR.
Then it's not too bad. What do we got? No, there's no Escape from New York game on this archive. No.
Boo. I'm looking at the board game now. It looks kind of cool. It looks like a weird version of Risk or something like that.
Ooh, nice.
You've got characters. Nice. Yeah. And you've got...
Escape from New York, wonderful movie, and I think you should definitely check it out, especially if you like those dystopian future settings of the world, which I do.
Those are fun.
I'm a big sucker for those. I love those just because it's a what if. Like, is this really going to happen? Probably not in our lifetime, but hey, pretty cool to imagine. But it's Snake Plissken is the main character played by Kurt Russell, and he is a prisoner of war. Not a prisoner of war, but he is a prisoner. He's a former military guy who's gone rogue and against the government, and he is brought into kind of taken out of the prison cell by the guy to help save the president, whose plane went down over New York, which is now a giant penal system.
You said penal.
I certainly did.
I'm so immature. I'm sorry about that.
It's a giant prison city, so the entire New York was walled in. So it's basically the criminals and the lunatics are running the asylum in New York, and so he is sent in there to go track and save the president from being killed by the people who run the New York town. The Duke of New York, played wonderfully by Isaac Hayes.
The film is set in near future 1997.
Yeah.
And crime-ridden United States. So, yeah, that's... Why do they bother putting years, like, in those futuristic movies? Like, why not just leave the year off and then your movie can be a little more timeless?
I don't know. It's kind of funny because, like, there's stuff like that, or there's that cartoon with the same Thunder of the Barbarian. I was telling you about that as well. And it says same thing where it's like in 1999 or something like that. And it's like, oh, no, the world hasn't done this just yet.
So would you say that is Kurt Russell's best action role, or do you still go Big Trouble in Little China?
For me, Big Trouble in Little China is my favorite, but a lot of people say that Escape from New York is their... a lot of people say it's all John Carpenter. I love The Thing with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, and Big Trouble with Kurt Russell as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think that's John Carpenter's best film?
For the time, for 1981, I think it was a really... It became a really cool cult classic, which then... transitions it into a timeless movie where you can kind of forgive the maybe the shoddy special effects or the weird funky soundtrack or the dialogue, but it is a timeless message. And Kurt Russell is wonderful as Snake Plissken. He's the ultimate badass when the 80s had badass action stars.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I saw the remake of Assault on Precinct 13. It's been a while since I've seen the original. What do you think of the original?
I like the original. I also saw the remake. It's you know, they did it was passable. It wasn't really it was an interesting idea, obviously, of the police station getting attacked and trying to kill the witness or kill the guy who was arrested. But the first one was pretty cool. It was definitely fun for the 80s. But I'd give it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it at the time, but the remake is not something I've ever, like, oh, I've got to get this out of the bargain bin at Target or Walmart or whatever. I've never felt the need to do anything like that. No, I was asking you about Escape from New York, which had the sequel, Escape from L.A., which people don't seem to enjoy that one as much.
No, that was not very good.
Yeah, sorry about that. But, no, they greenlit, Fox greenlit the a remake of Escape from New York. And that seems like that's got people kind of, you know, I don't know, mixed feelings or something like that.
They had been talking about doing a remake or a reboot of Escape from New York for a while. And I think they'd just been kind of, they finally settled on it. Originally, they thought that to play the part of Snake Plissken was going to be Gerard Butler, who is hot off of his performance in 300. So a lot of people were digging him. They thought, hey, all right, he's gonna transition well as that, the next action hero. But then I think he had some problems with either drugs or whatever it was.
Oh, really? So, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's all right. He's not, you know, he didn't die or anything like that, but he was taken off the project immediately, pretty much. And so they didn't know. They thought that was going to be on the shelf. So they finally greenlit it. And, you know, for as outspoken as I am against remakes and things of that nature, I actually think that a remake of Escape from New York could do really, really well. And I think they could do it better as well.
Oh, nice. Well, I think that'd be fun to watch. I need to get around to watching the first one, though. Because it seems like that's one of those like action movie classics that everybody needs to see or something
like
that.
It's a cult classic from the 80s. If you grew up in the 80s like I did, you grew up with watching that movie. I watched, you know, it was movies like Big Trouble in Little China, like The Warriors. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. That's awesome 80s film as well.
No, I'm a bad person. I haven't seen The Warriors either.
Oh, wow.
I lived a sheltered life as a child, man. Even when I turned 13, my mom was like, you're still not watching PG-13 movies. I'm like, what? It says it on the box, 13. That's me. I can do this.
See, I was the opposite. When I still remember, I have a memory. I think it was my parents. They went out to dinner, and so it was my sisters were in the house, probably doing the homework, and I was in the TV room. And I do remember. I tried to figure out what it was, what war movie I was watching when I was in. I had to have been in fourth grade or third grade or something like that. And I think I've narrowed it down to Full Metal Jacket or Apocalypse Now. Yeah, not really a movie that a third or fourth grader should probably be watching. But I do. I remember scenes that I was like, yes, I remember that scene. That's I was watching that as a kid.
Yeah, I need to see. I've seen Full Metal Jacket. Like, what's his face goes crazy in the bathroom and kills the sergeant or whatever. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Private Pyle, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and the sergeant, I forget his name, but he's, I don't know, he's so iconic.
His real name is Sergeant Lee Army, so which is funny.
Is it really Lee Army?
It's R Lee Army. Yeah.
Did he do that on purpose?
No, but it's not A R M Y. It's E R M Y.
Oh, okay. So
it's R Lee Emery. E R M E Y. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems very it's very coincidental. Yeah, no, he didn't do it on purpose, but it feels that way. But yeah, he was Sergeant Hartman in Full Metal Jacket. So yeah, I've just got a lot of movies I need to get around to. I was thinking about retro movies because my sister, she was talking about she's wanting my nephew, Brent, her son, to start watching like all these old like 80s classics movies. Like she said, The Neverending Story.
Nice.
And The Wizard, which I told her, The Wizard, that movie is crap. Like
she's The Wizard with Fred Savage?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
If you try to go back and watch, she's like, well, it was great when we were kids. I was like, yeah, but if you try and go back and watch it now, it's a crap movie. Like, it's just god-awful bad.
Some movies are age like a fine wine, like, movies like Escape from New York and things of that nature. The Wizard is not one of those movies that ages like a fine wine.
No.
That was your cheap, standard drugstore wine anyway, to begin with.
It's the stuff I used to buy when I was in high school. You ever heard of a brewing company called Heaven Hill?
No.
Ooh. Oh, man. All right. I used to get I think it was like maybe like a 40 or 64-ounce bottle of Heaven Hill gin for $5.
Oh, that
was not
Lord.
Good for you, man. You could feel that burn on the way down. I would mix it in with juice or whatever. I'd keep it stowed away in my dorm room.
Gin and juice, baby. Gin and juice, just like Snoop Dogg.
That's what I drank. I didn't drink really beer in college. I just drank gin and juice, man. It was $5 for that giant thing of it. Like, you can't go wrong with that. Well, actually, you can go wrong.
You can go wrong.
Yeah. No, it was just, it's fine. Anytime you can get that much booze for $5, you're doing something wrong. You failed in life somehow.
You're not living life the way it should be.
If you haven't failed already, you're on your way to failure. But
I really do think that and I am outspoken against the movie studios doing remakes and things like that, because I'm always hey, I want new films, I want new ideas coming out, and I don't like it when movies are remade and they've only been out let's say at 10 years old and they're already remaking a movie. I am a fan of a movie that if it's over a certain amount of age or if it's over a certain amount of years, such as an Escape from New York, which is almost over 30 years old. I think it's roughly about 30, maybe a little more than 30.
Yeah, came out in 81, so that's
there you go.
34 years this year.
There you go. I think that's, there should be a time limit for what movies that they should do. And, if it's a obscure film from the 80s or the 90s, and you want to remake it and remake it better, then I think you should do it. But once, if there's a cult film that's so good, that's amazing, that you should have no, you shouldn't be able to remake that movie. But with Escape from New York, I think they could do a wonderful job, not only of, they could keep the same story if they want to, but the special effects will be updated. And I think as long as they keep it just that dirty, grimy feel that Escape from New York originally had, then I think they'll have another hit on their hands.
Speaking of effects, that is a cool movie poster for Escape from New York with the Statue of Liberty head like right in the middle of the street or whatever. So you're talking about if it's a cult movie, if it's so great, then don't remake it. See, you would be morally opposed to a Back to the Future remake because that's going to happen at some point.
It's got to happen at some point.
I don't know why it hasn't.
I hope they don't. That's one of those things. I hope they don't, and I hope they don't cast Jaden Smith or something like that.
I was about to tell you, that's exactly who it would be if they do redo it. I remember the rumor a few years ago was Justin Bieber was going to be in a Back to the Future remake, and I don't know where that came from. Like, who floated that out there as like they thought that would be a good idea?
Do you know how fast that the internet would be broken if that was ever greenlit? As Justin Bieber, as Marty McFly, in a Back to the Future. So many people, not only our age, but older and even younger, would go just ape, excuse me, ape, and
No, it was a bunch of British tabloids back in 2010. They were reporting that that Justin Bieber was going to be in it. But they never cited any sources. You always cite your sources. If there are no sources cited, then you should not believe the story. Unless it's something crazy.
It is true. The only thing I want to see Justin Bieber in is a in coffin? A... an orange jumpsuit.
I was going to say, coffin, that was very dark and vengeful of me, man.
Yes, it
rooting
was.
For somebody's death because I don't like their music. That's awful.
All right, I'll do it too. All right, a coffin. I want to see him in a coffin. I want to see him. He's cast in a coffin.
How would they do, if they did a Back to the Future remake, would it be still set in the 80s or would they make it like modern day? If you were going to remake this,
that's
just throw on your fun producer cap here.
I think they would have to do. They'd have to do it normal. They'd have to do present day. They can't do because then the bullshit meter would go through the roof of them trying to shoot a movie to make it look like it's in the 80s to also go back to into the past to the 50s. It has to be set in the present time, and maybe they go back to another time or something like that. But, you know, they'd have to be a different story altogether.
Yeah, they'd go back to the 80s or something like that.
The 80s.
Like Hot Tub Time Machine. They went back to the 80s.
Hey, great film. I like that movie.
That, you know what? That might be our Back to the Future remake right there. Hot Tub Time Machine.
It could have been. You know, it's funny you say that because the guy who played George McFly, Crispin Glover, was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Was he really?
Yes, he was. They went back in time, and he was the bellhop at the hotel that they were staying at.
That's not random at all. That had to be planned.
Definitely planned, yes.
They're doing a sequel. We saw that during the football game today of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Indeed. I expect that to be pretty good. Sad thing is John Cusack is not in the movie.
Why?
I don't know.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead in the film or anything like that. He may be having a special surprise cameo, from what I kind of read something. But all three of the main characters are back, and this time they are joined by with Adam Scott, who is wonderfully funny.
You know, for some stupid reason, when you were saying John Cusack is having an, I filled in the blank, and I thought you were going to say an affair or something
that. He is having an affair, and that's not a good thing.
Who's he having an affair with? We're just going to make stuff up. Who's he having an affair with?
Who's it? Is it Scarlett Johansson, probably? I don't know.
Probably. Well, I mean, he's John Cusack. He can have anybody he wants to.
Anybody he wants.
Well, what is he doing now? What's he so busy that he can't do?
I don't know. He's doing a lot of direct-to-DVD films. I've noticed that, which I don't know what... that usually means that the actor is... they're not as bankable as they once were. So they're like, well, you know, I still want to act, so let's do these, you know, these kind of... flimsy action films that are direct to DVD, and that sometimes spells out that maybe the actor needs money fast because of a divorce. Like Nicolas Cage was doing a lot of those because he was divorced or something was going on. He was bankrupt. He needed money, so he started doing a bunch of crazy crappy films.
I just looked on John Cusack's list of movies. He just made a movie called Drive Hard. It says former race car. Race car is spelled the same way backwards and forwards, which is amuses me to no fixed end. Peter Roberts. He traded the winner's circle for a 9-to-5 job as a beginner's driving instructor, but his life shifts into overdrive, James, when Simon Keller hijacks Peter to be his getaway driver in a $9 million heist. The only thing I have to say, only $9 million? Like, seriously? That's not really worth doing anything.
Maybe that was the movie budget. I don't know.
They couldn't afford like $50 million in the movie. It's like, oh, we'll just settle for $9 million. That doesn't sound like a good guy if he's just doing a $9 million. I'm sorry, but I'm offended by that amount.
I've seen that that trailer for the. I'm not. I won't be afraid to say that I have seen that trailer.
Was it any good?
It looks crappy.
Poor John Cusack. What happened to you, sir? We should have him on this podcast sometime and talk to him.
We should. We can talk to him about his wonderful movies. I loved him in Gross Point Blank when he was the. It was the high school reunion when he comes back and he's actually a hitman, and he tries to go reignite his high school flame, not on fire, but with the passions of his heart. With she was played by Minnie Driver, wonderfully played by.
Yeah, he was in The Thin Red Line. He was in Con Air.
Yes, wonderful in Con Air. He was in 1408, a wonderful horror film, as he is a kind of a debunker for haunted places, and he goes into a hotel room that is very, very haunted.
Ooh, scary stuff there. And 8 Men Out. He was in that movie, 8 Men Out. He was Buck Weaver.
He was.
A fine little sports movie.
Very good movie. Great cast. And I haven't seen that in a long time. That's a great baseball movie. He was also in a wonderful movie called Identity. And that was some really cool twists and turn in that place. There's he is a driver of some, I can't remember what it is. He's a former cop, but there's a giant rainstorm and about 8 people are stranded at this motel. And all of a sudden, one by one, they get killed and they've got to solve a mystery before they're all killed. And there's a surprise ending, which is really cool.
Is that like where they try to pull off the mask to see if it's Old Man Withers who runs the theme park? And it's not Old Man Withers. It's somebody else.
It's kind of a funky story and a really cool twist to what they were doing. You kind of figure it out toward the end because there's some other things that are going on. I don't even want to spoil it, but it's a great movie. Anybody who hasn't seen Identity and likes things like that, very well acted as well, go check it out.
I need to mark that down. There's 2 movies. I'm looking at John Cusack's list of movies here. There's 2 movies that he's in that I want to go back and watch. I tried to watch Being John Malkovich when I was in high school. I don't think I appreciated it the way I would now as an adult. So I think I might go back and try and watch that.
Oh, that's a weird... Yeah, I saw that in high school, and I recently rewatched that for the second time
ever. How was it now as an adult?
Just as weird as I remember it. It was a very... God, that was a weird, funky movie, and, kudos to them, because they pulled off a crazy story and made it really entertaining.
Yeah, they made Cameron Diaz look completely unattractive.
We
thought that was amazing. And then also... he was in this movie. I remember seeing it advertised as a kid, but I would like to go back and watch it now. It's called The Road to Wellville. Did you see that movie?
Oh, no, but I remember that. Yes, I've never seen it.
Anthony Hopkins, Matthew Broderick, John Cusack, and Dana Carvey are all in that movie.
Wow.
And that just sounds like, wow, those people are amazing. It just looks like one of those cool, like, old-timey comedy movies or something that I just need to sit down and watch sometime. So... how in the hell did we start talking about John Cusack all of a sudden? We sound like fangirls or something like that.
I'm a big guy. I like him.
A nice enough guy. But he's a nice guy. He probably would loan you $5 if you asked him on the street. It's like, hey, can I buy a cigarette, sir? John Cusack would get your back.
I should. Oh, The Road to Wellville was a bomb, ladies and gentlemen. That was in 1994. The budget was $25 million. The box office was $6.5 million.
So it was not the bomb. It was just a bomb.
A bomb, yes.
I wonder, there were lots of things that were bombs that ended up being good. I can't think of any off the top of my head. What? Can you think of a bomb that was a good movie? It was just bomb for some reason?
What was a good movie that... there's always been... Dread.
Office Space,
there you go.
Office Space was a bomb. And, Dread...
recently, Dread.
How was that a bomb? That was good.
It was wonderful, and they made a ton of money in the international and on the DVD. It just didn't do too well in America. I think because they didn't do advertising for it very well. I don't know. That's what I had heard last.
Do you think that the original with Sylvester Stallone? Do you think that held that movie back? People still have that bad taste in their mouth from that one.
I am the law. Yes, most likely. Well, also Dredd is he's a English comic book character. Yeah. So I think a lot of Americans aren't as familiar with it. Whereas in England, in Scotland, in the British Isles, he is just adored and rightfully so. I mean, he's a badass.
Have you read the comic book?
I'm not going to lie. No, I have not read the comic book. I've read stuff about the comic book, and so I know of it, but I've never read any issues.
Have you read any new comic books lately?
Have I? I've read just some stuff, some trade paperbacks from my local library, but they were recent stuff. It was some Avengers and X-Men stuff, kind of the fallout of Cyclops being finally taken down after the Phoenix Force.
That.
Yeah. And what I'm reading right now actually is it's the Adventures of Jean Grey and Scott, or Jean and Scott. That was a 4-issue miniseries in the late 90s where Jean Grey and Scott Summers are married, and moments into their honeymoon, they are thrust into thrust into the future, and they are there to help stop or help put down Apocalypse, who has taken over a not too distant future.
What a dick, that Apocalypse, man. Why can't he just, you know, I don't know, why can't he just leave everybody alone?
Leave me alone. Exactly.
What's that? So, what was that dude? Leave Britney alone or something like that? Do you remember that guy?
I do. Yes, that was horrible.
Man, that guy is not good.
But other than that, you know, I've read a few things. I haven't read as many kind of current comic books as I always do. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to slowly catch up.
Yeah, I picked up Detective Comics 37, and you know what? I just rediscovered how amazing Batman was over the last few months. So I decided I'm going to start reading a comic book. And it's really hard to figure out which comic book series to jump in with, you know, a character like Batman who's got like all of these different series and stuff. And like, it's like, where do you go? Like, what do you do?
With something like that, I mean, I assume that there is an ongoing storyline that you just jumped into. How is it? Is it confusing? Are you? You know, how many issues are you back with? In the storyline.
Well, I grabbed the one that was just like where it said like part one or something like that. Like the regular Batman was like in part three or whatever. And I didn't have the money to, you know, all three of the comic books. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, you know, I'm just gonna pick up the one, but it is pretty good. What's his name? I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, Mad Hatter was around, and he was causing just some mayhem or whatever, and Batman stopped him. But I was trying to also just find out like the difference between Detective Comics and Batman and all that stuff. And apparently, Detective Comics is more grounded like in reality with like police work and stuff like that. And I was like, well, that's the side of Batman that I like. Like with the movies and stuff, you know, they didn't really do a lot of they didn't do anything supernatural or whatever in the movies. So, but it's pretty good. Once I get a little more money under my belt, I will probably pick up a few more issues of that. So
nice. Yeah. Batman's always got some, I mean, he's always a wonderful comic to read. And the last thing I had heard that it was, this is probably about a year ago or something like that. I think they had killed off his son or something, Damian.
Oh,
Wayne.
Really? Oh, I had no idea.
So I don't know if he's, you know, if he's still in that in those issues. I made no reference to him. I'm even further behind than I thought.
No, and I picked up Doctor Who, one of the Doctor Who comic books. It was okay. They did a good job of capturing the Doctor's personality, but the storyline in it was kind of, it was. It was just all right. One of my other friends who's like a giant Doctor Who fan, his name's Christian, and I don't think he goes to church, which is just a funny little irony right there. A guy named Christian that doesn't go to church. But he said he didn't really care for like a lot of the Doctor Who comic books or whatever, and he loves the show even more than I do, I think. So I guess it's not just me who thought it was boring. It must just be a thing that happens. But yeah, it just, and and I got the you'll laugh at me, I got the My Little Pony annual back from September and read that, and that was really cool. It was like this throwback to like Silver Age comics or whatever, this like comic book team of ponies or whatever, and just with like the cheesy dialogue and talking to the narrator and stuff like that, and that was pretty cool. So yeah,
puts that out? Is that, that's not Marvel?
IDW.
IDW.
Yeah,
okay.
They also do, I think they do Ninja Turtles. They had Doctor Who up until recently, but I think they do like G.I. Joe and stuff like that.
Yes, I think they've done G.I. Joe and they've done Transformers as well. So they got a lot of those. Nice.
Yeah, they don't do like any, I don't know if IDW does any like any original characters. I think it's all licensed stuff, which, gotcha. I mean, I guess it's fine, but I don't know. I like original stuff better. It just feels like it's hard to do. You know, take a licensed character and put it into comic book form because you're competing with what everybody thinks, you know, from the television series or the movie series or whatever. I don't know how they do that. It seems like a very stressful job.
Well, but with you know, characters like G.I. Joe or Transformers, they've already got established kind of characters and how, you know, what the characters done. Yeah, so they could just take, all right, well, we're going to take these few characters, we're going to do a little, you know, side project run or something like that. So, yeah, I can see both, where, you know, you want to be faithful to the characters, but you also want to have your own kind of new stories. But then again, on the other side, it's like, wow, it's much easier than having to, you know, create new characters that nobody knows of. So
I guess I never thought of it that way. That's why I have you around to educate
me. That's why I'm the co-host around here.
Would you rather be the writer for a comic book, or take your pick of any series? Would you rather be the writer or the artist?
Ooh. Since I can't draw, I would say that I would rather be the writer.
In this scenario, you were gifted the power of art. Or you could just draw stick figures and everybody would love it.
Oh, wow. You know, I think I'd still like to do the writing, just because that seems, with the drawing, you're still drawing to, you know, the writer's specifications. So I would think that the writing would probably be the best, because you can, you know, create some crazy, you know, storylines, you know, for the X-Men or things like that. And they're always doing so. Like, hey, oh, we're killing off Wolverine. And in 3 months, they'll bring him back, too. Yeah.
Do you think he's coming back, Wolverine?
Of course he is. He's their number one guy.
Let me rephrase this. Do you think – here's the theory that I heard floated around. I'm wondering if Marvel is planning to do like DC did a few years ago and completely reboot their entire universe, which would make decisions like killing off Wolverine a lot easier, because they know he's going to come back. So, hey, let's just have some fun with it and let's kill him now.
Yeah, but wasn't the – so I assume you're referring to the new 52. Is that correct, from DC?
You know what? As somebody who was not into – like who does not read comic books like super regularly, I kind of like that, because now I don't have a bunch of history to dig through to stay current on what's happening in the newest issue.
See, I'm on the other hand, and I have read that other people were not very happy with them rebooting the most of the main characters for DC and starting over. I think it's kind of a cop out that you just say, all right, well, let's just start over and do some, you know, as opposed to honoring the storylines that fans have. You know, the issues that fans have bought and spent money on. And that's so then it kind of, for me, it shows that the, you know, the comic book company says, well, you know, the stuff that you paid us to read, screw it. We're starting over, you know, thanks for your money. But, you know, so if you really love this character, we're changing it all around. So if Marvel does that, I mean, why would they do that to all the main characters?
I don't know. I would think if they did it, I wonder also the other reason I think, other than them killing off Wolverine, the other reason I'm thinking maybe they could do that is if they wanted to line everything up with their cinematic universe and their TV universe. Have everything together. That way they don't have to try to explain, well, Nick Fury used to be a white dude, now he's a black dude, and blah, blah, blah. They can just start over and say, you know what? No, Nick Fury is a black dude. It's the way it's always been, because we just rebooted it.
How do you like your Nick Fury?
I don't know. Like I haven't read the new comic books enough to know which one was better, but I always remember him as a David Hasselhoff looking dude.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And I've read a lot of the older Nick Fury stuff where, you know, he was Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and some pretty cool stuff. So he's like the super spy, like a James Bond-esque sort of. And, you know, I like Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, so yeah, he's great as Nick Fury. I like that version of Nick Fury the best. But I didn't read much of the, what was that second version of Marvel where all the characters were all different or whatever, where Black Nick Fury came from?
Was that Marvel, not Max, or
The Ultimate Universe. Yeah. Thank you. They did a bunch of crazy stuff in there. I think they actually killed Wolverine in the Ultimate Universe, and he was just dead. Which is fine.
I've heard of that. Yes, yes. You know, it's stuff like that where I think it's funny that people raise a outrage of smaller, you know, second tier, third tier characters that they're, you know, they're like, well, hey, we're gonna make Nick Fury black. What the hell? You know, like there's a collection of diehard Nick Fury fans. Like, come on, what?
I never know. I just remember my friend Chris when I was not Chris Alt that we all know and love, but
we do.
Yes, we do. But Chris Rollman, when I was a kid, his words, Nick Fury sucks. Like, well, okay. I wonder if he still feels that way now. But Chris Roman, if you're listening, sir, you're an ass. So there you go.
Yeah. Boom. Shots fired.
I don't like him very much looking back as a child. He's kind of a bully, man. So
was
he? He made me read Garfield comics out loud with him, and I had to be John Arbuckle. First off, why do I always have to be John Arbuckle? Second off, when you were a kid, were you narrating Garfield comic books out loud with your friends?
Certainly not. And if I what, was that his idea of bullying? you read John Arbuckle's part for Garfield.
Yeah, I was like, I want to read, you know, Garfield. And he's like, no. And I was like a meek, you know, quiet, you know, introverted kid or whatever. And so I didn't really try to stand up for myself or whatever, well, you know.
You're lucky he didn't give you the part of Nermal to read or Odie.
Oh, well, I think I probably would have punched him in the penis if he had done that.
Oh, double shots fired. Like,
why couldn't we have read Calvin and Hobbes? I mean, that's equal footing right there, you know. If you get to read one or the other, that's fine. If you get to read Calvin, that's great. If you get to read Hobbes, that's great too.
Did he make you read Garfield out loud in front of other people, or is just you guys?
No, just hanging out in his room. So gotcha. After we got done playing Super Nintendo. So it was weird. Just a weird thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that was weird. I'm trying to figure out where that came from, and I don't know.
Maybe he was like, I need to be entertained. Enough of this Super Nintendo. Yeah. Read me Garfield right now.
Also, I think maybe the other reasons I never like really completely stood up to him, he was a year older than me, and he is much bigger physically than I was. So
there you go.
He probably would have beat me up.
And he was a big Garfield fan.
Yeah, so maybe I wonder if he's dead. That would suck if he was dead.
Oh,
well, you're talking smack about a dead man or something.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he was alive and he's still a Garfield fan, he's going to hate tomorrow because, like Garfield, tomorrow's Monday.
Let's see. Is he on social media? There's a bunch of Chris Romans, and I don't know which one is which, but I don't know. Do you ever looked up old classmates of yours and they're not on social media and you wonder, are they dead or they just don't use Facebook?
I've looked up a few. I'm still kind of in contact with a couple of grade school friends that I knew. And, you know, there's some that I see around who are friends of friends, because a lot of the guys I went to grade school went to my high school as well. So, but yeah, there's a couple of people, especially like there's a couple like random girls. Like we had in our eighth grade class, I think we had a total of 6 girls and there was like 25 guys as well. So, That's not a good numbers, my friend.
No, that's a terrible number.
There's a few that I don't know what happened to them. And I actually didn't look them up. I haven't looked them up at anything like that because, you know, who knows? Maybe they got married and changed their last name, so I have no clue where they are.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I never thought – I guess I never think about that with the women changing their names and stuff like that. But, I look up guys and stuff like that, and they're not there. So it's like, well, maybe they got their name changed if their parents got divorced or something like that. Or maybe they just don't use Facebook. I don't know.
It's true. There's a lot of people that don't use Facebook, or they're – you know, maybe they have their secret profiles.
They're hiding from the world. What do you got to hide? Why do – I don't – do I even need to find them if I can't like, are they even worth finding if you can't find them easily? I say no.
I don't know. I mean, if you could, would you, if you found Chris Roman, would you send him a book of Garfield?
I would probably send him that Garfield minus Garfield, where it's just John talking and say, hey, try and read this out loud, punk. That's what I would do because I'm a vengeful, petty person. No, I'd probably keep it classy and civil and just casually mention it down the road. Oh, by the way, when we were kids, you were kind of a jerk to me. What's up with that?
Yeah, so, and then you punch him right in the junk.
Yeah, I would punch him and I would walk away. And my voice just cracked right there when I talked about punching people in the penis. And that is nice little sound effect there. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me, man. Puberty's 20 years late for me.
It's kicking in.
Oh, man. You know what it is? It's having 2 kids, man. They take it all out of you. They take your manhood away from you.
How's that going for you?
That's gone. My kid can hear now. That's a positive. Oh, yeah.
That's good. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah. He had a ear surgery or whatever. And I think he's still kind of hard of hearing because he can't hear, like, small voices. But if you, like, are loud or, like, right in his face, he can hear you when you talk. So,
good.
Kind of excited about that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff. Because he got the surgery. Do you have any children that need surgery, James?
No,
that you know of?
Not that I know of. No.
Oh, okay. No children. Do people ever pester you and the lady to have children, or do they kind of leave you all alone?
No. No, not really. Her mom has said that she said, you know, just give me another grandchild. You don't have to get married. Just give me another kid. I'm like, well, all right, sure. Are you paying for this kid as well?
Well, maybe she will if she wants a grandchild bad enough. You never never underestimate a woman who wants a grandchild, because they'll do everything they can, man. So yeah, I didn't know if people ever, because I know people who don't have children get like hassled sometimes, like, when are you gonna have kids, which I don't like to do that to people because that's none of my business, but I didn't know if people ever gave you crap about it.
No. I'm fine because I have older siblings who all have kids, so my parents are super, you know, fine with their grandkid options from my older siblings.
Pacified. Yeah, we're good. That's good.
We're good for now.
Oh man, if they didn't have kids though, you'd be in trouble, dude.
If I was the oldest, yeah, I would be. I'm sure I would have been married a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forget that you're not the oldest child.
No.
Ah. You feel like you should. You feel like a big brother, though, man. You got the big brother vibe going to you. It's kind of surprising that you're not.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I don't have any. I have one younger sibling, but I guess I am a big brother, sort of. Well, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah, I see your younger sibling posting on your Facebook. And she seems very delightful.
She is a delight.
Makes me laugh on occasion too. So
good. She's very funny,
and you make me laugh. You got a family of comedians down there.
We do. We do have some funny. We do have some funny folk in our in the Ryan household. Yeah.
I mean, some of them even cheer for UCLA, and that's hilarious. Why anybody would do that?
I know.
Makes me sad right there. Also makes me sad. I didn't mention this on the podcast last week with my friend Joey, which, by the way, he proved to be a capable fill-in host for you.
So excellent.
You get more weeks off now. So,
whoa.
which I bring that up because I am moving, sir. I'm going closer to you, actually.
Whoa. Now, you're moving down to Florida, am I correct?
Yeah, I'm moving west. I'm going west, young man. I'm taking a newspaper gig down there.
Woo! Congratulations.
News Herald. Oh, thank you. Let's pop the bubbly or Pepsi or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But I'll be Central Time Zone, so it'll be easier to coordinate podcasting with you because you'll only be two hours behind instead of three and all that fun stuff.
You're going to have to get now that you're working for a newspaper, you're going to have to get a little hat, you know, kind of what Clark Kent used to have, and have press thing on your jacket, like Dustin Faber. What's the newspaper?
It's the News Herald in Panama City.
Dustin Faber, News Herald, Panama City. What are your thoughts on this?
Now my employer is going to like hear their name on this podcast, be like, what the hell are we thinking hiring this guy? All he talks about is video games. Let's get rid of him now. But now I'll be doing page design and making the pages look pretty, so people will be like, ooh, nice. I want to read that because that's a cool looking picture and a headline right there. So
awesome.
It's probably stuff that nobody really thinks about, but you know, it is what it is. But I'm looking forward to it.
Congratulations. I knew you were looking for something like that for a while.
Yeah, because my job right now is so monotonous, and once it is completely over and I'm not being scared of being fired, I will tell you all about it on this podcast because it is, it's so mind-numbingly stupid.
What is the countdown? When are you taking off? When are you leaving?
I am taking off my clothes. No, not doing that. What? Yeah. What am I talking about? No, nothing like that. I leave on Friday, February 6th. And nice. I will start work on Monday the 9th. And the interesting part about that is that our lease is not up until May. So my wife and my two children are staying behind here in Virginia to take care of it. And also taking advantage of the fact that, you know, I'll have a better paying job combined with her better paying job that she's got right now to put some money away into savings and everything like that. But
excellent.
I will be from about 2 weeks from now or so in 2 weeks, I will begin a three and a half, 4 month stay in Florida without my wife or children. I will not see them for 3 or 4 months.
Spring break!
Part of me is like, oh man, this will be kind of cool. I can play, my video games and stuff. I'm going to miss the hell out of those kids, man.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife, too. You know, just, that's going to kill me. Because I'm going to miss Lucy's birthday, man. She turns three, and I will not be here for it.
That's a bummer. Well, hopefully you can Skype and say happy birthday.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm hoping. I'll miss her birthday, and I will miss my son's first Easter. Woo! And and I will miss my sister's birthday and our anniversary. My wife's and I's anniversary. So it's a lot of stuff. And then
that is
he's
a, lot of stuff.
Oh. A freaking, like, he's a newborn, man, and like missing 3 months of a newborn's life or whatever is just, well, is just nuts, you know? But
that very true. Very true, but let me just say he probably won't remember it.
So. No, probably not. But the reason we're doing it is because, I mean, our lease is not up until May. We don't have the money to break it. And, you know, if my wife were to move to Florida, we don't have the money on just on my income to pay for rent in 2 apartments.
In both places, yeah.
So yeah. It's just, you know what, I look at it as I'm going down there to provide a better life for my family so that when my daughter turns 4, Daddy will definitely not miss it because he'll have a job where he can see her. You know?
And you're going ahead to set everything up. So by the time they come down, hey, everything, it will be a smooth transition for them and everything like that. So, you know, and look at it also as it's your little it's like a mini vacation. While you're going to be away from them, it's going to suck. But, hey, you know, you're going to have a lot of fun because, you know, it's almost as if you're going to be like, hey, this is all. It's all. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids right now. Woohoo! Video games. And I can eat pizza at 2 a.m. and nobody's going to care.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So I'm sure in the next month or two, we'll probably have some sad, weepy podcast on my end. Like, oh, I miss everybody.
Oh, the sad cast.
Oh, man, that's a good idea. The sad cast. Just say a bunch of sad stuff on there. That'd be fun. And
here's a sad movie for you to watch.
What's the farthest you've ever been away from the doctor, lady of yours?
Let's see. She went away a little bit ago for a seminar out in she's gone twice to Boston for, I think, a week and then Florida for a week. There's other times. I think that might be – oh, we both went to – let's see. When I went to Hong Kong for my friend's wedding for – I was gone for about 2 weeks. She was in Hawaii on a vacation alone as well. So
she didn't miss you in Hawaii.
She didn't miss me. No. We're fine. We don't – I'm sure if we had a kid or anything like that, it would probably be a lot different dynamic. But
she missed you and you missed her. It just wasn't like a heartbreaking, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see this person.
No. On the record, she definitely missed me. I will say that.
Well, good. I'm glad.
As I'm looking at her and she's shaking her head no.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry about that. And tell her I'm doing my best job not to ever say her name on this podcast.
It's all right.
She's keeping like, the privacy
like,
going.
She's like a secret hero, a superhero.
She is. She's like Miss Marvel or something like that, you know.
Or a secret hero is what I said. You are a secret hero. Nobody knows the good things that you've done.
Nice, nice. Well, I think we're going to wrap that up for wrap it up, like they say on Chappelle's Show. Wrap it up.
Wrap that stuff up, B.
Any closing remarks or places we can go to find you on the internet?
Yes, indeed. So my Twitter handle is at beerbaron4life. That is the number 4, LIFE. You can also check me out. I have 2 other Twitter handles that I go by. It's at @armyofdorkness_. And I just had a recent new episode of Army of Dorkness with my co-host Maria. We were supposed to record this weekend, but c'est la vie, stuff happens. And that's located at flogcast.net/armyofdorkness. And I also have another podcast. It's called Time Limit Draw, where we talk about retro wrestling.
Yeah,
and that's pretty cool. Woo! And that's also at the TLD podcast.
Awesome. And as customary, whenever you give out your Twitter, I always retweet one or two of the last things that you yourself wrote. You said, my prediction for today's games, the two winners will play each other in the Super Bowl. I actually found that funny. And then you also said, autocorrect, you magnificent bastard.
Yes, the autocorrect said something last night when I was typing to Andy, actually, and it was just really funny. And I don't actually remember what it was, but because I didn't write it on the tweet, but it was pretty darn funny because it worked out that it just was funny and it kind of matched up what I was trying to say. But it was a totally weird thing to say.
Well, yeah, autocorrect is an evil thing. So when next we podcast, it will be. When will it be? Oh, it'll be the week of the Super Bowl. So
nice.
We got that. We can talk about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a year where the Pro Bowl was better than the Super Bowl? I don't know. I need to look that up. I'm sure there's probably been a Super Bowl blowout or something. But
yeah, there were a couple Super Bowl blowouts, and I'm
just
sure
a few.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's ever been a good Pro Bowl game. I don't know. It's just
no, because most of the guys don't really care.
Yeah, no, nobody cares. I do. Oh, somebody tweeted back at you just now. Somebody said, they said that's a Maddenism. Your prediction for the Super Bowl.
It is.
You're channeling John Madden. Well, you live close to Oakland, so.
Well, let me tell you something about that. You know.
No, I'm sure we'll have something fun to talk about in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, that'll be my final weekend here in Virginia. So maybe I'll just wax poetic about everything I learned in Virginia while I was here. So
that's
quite a few of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you've. I'm sure there's a few things that have gone on while you've been out there.
Yeah, they have. I don't know. Maybe they have. Yeah, they have. No. Hey, thank you for. Thank you everybody for listening. I'm at 16-bit Catholic, and you can read more of my stuff at onemorecastle.com, where I talk about old arcade games. And my arcade machine right now is messed up. I don't know what's wrong with the buttons, but they're not responding. Yeah, the little button that you use to select games, that doesn't work. So you kind of need that to select a game, so some wiring or something probably fell out or whatever, but anyways, find me there, and thank you everybody for listening. James Ryan, I am Dustin Faber. Take care, brush your hair. That sounded lame. I'm never gonna say that again. I'm sorry everybody. Have a great night.